So I got a phone call last night that Pastor wasn't going to be available today. It's pretty late. So I don't know how this is going to go today. I mean, not sure if the message is complete, but I'll just let the Word of God speak to you. I'll just let God take control. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to read 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. The message is more than just these five verses, but we'll just read verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Brother Roger asked me earlier if what he was going to read for the Bible reading kind of matched the message. And he spoke about the last days. And I didn't tell him what my message was. But I think God has something to do with this. Because that's exactly what I'm going to talk to you about. "Perilous times shall come. For man shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady-minded, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." From such, turn away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord God, I completely trust you this morning. Please take control. May the Holy Spirit, God, be our teacher. May the words of God do its work. Hide me behind this pulpit. Hide me just behind a cross. It is not because of my eloquence or anything like that. Not because of my talent. But because of thy power, thy words. Oh, I pray to use those words to convict the hearts of your people today. May we be changed by your words and by your Holy Spirit. May the Lord Jesus Christ be magnified in our eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to talk to you about the last days. Because I believe we're in the last days. We're in the last days, and you may say, "Brother George, are you going to talk about all these wars going on? Are you going to talk about what's happening in the government? Are you going to talk about all this stuff that's happening around us?" As you know, all kinds of craziness happening around us. I think it's very, very clear. It's obvious. Brother Roger mentioned there's a Green New Deal. How crazy is that? It is crazy. All kinds of conflicts, not just in America, but all around the world. Just look. Eyes open, and you understand why. We're in the last days. But I want you to know that here in this passage, there's not even a mention of all those sort of craziness happening around the world. In fact, how do we know that we're in the last days? We're going to look at the attitude of Christians today. That is how you're going to know that we're in the last days. I'm not making that up because that's exactly what it says. We're in the last days because perilous times shall come. We're living in a perilous times. You know what it means by perilous? Full of danger. Risky. It is like hazardous. You can use all kinds of words to define perilous, but you understand what that means. But the Bible is saying, why is it that we are living in the last days? Is it because we have all these crazy things happening in the government? Or probably the jail is being filled in the prison and all those things, all those problems, delinquents? No. Those are obvious. But what's not so obvious is what's happening within the church, within the body of Christ. You know, the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I'm not going to talk about doctrine this morning. I'm going to focus more on correction, reproof for us Christians. Here the Bible says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And there's a list of so many things, but the catalyst, what starts off all these things, these items, take a look at that verse 2 and 3. It lists all those items. What starts off this whole list of items is men shall be lovers of their own selves. Self-love. We're living in a society where Christians are full of themselves. Where Christians are just worried about themselves. You may say, Brother George, that's not, I'm not that. I am not that. I don't think, I'm telling you, I love God more than I love myself. Is that true? Take a look at verse 4. You mean to tell me that you please God first before you please yourself? Look at this. Traitors, heady-minded, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know how you can know that you're putting yourself first before God? When you seek pleasures first before pleasing God. Isn't that the truth? That an average Christian seeks own pleasure more than pleasing God. In verse 5, there is a commandment. Here's the commandment. From such, turn away. I wonder how many of us have been taking heed to that commandment. How many of us can say that we're doing good in that aspect of our lives? From such, turn away. It is a commandment. It is a commandment not to be lovers of our own selves. You may say, Brother George, I don't know what you're talking about. We're here this morning at church. We come to church and we sing songs and we play music. That's just a few hours of the week. How do we spend our entire week? Isn't that all about ourselves? All for ourselves? Because if that's the truth, then we are lovers of our own selves. There's in the book of Revelations, one outstanding characteristic of a church in the last days is this church will be a lukewarm church. You remember that? Revelation chapter 3. God describes a lukewarm church. You know why that church is a lukewarm church? A lukewarm church, neither hot nor cold. I believe that there are certain things that make that church a lukewarm church. Lukewarm church is not really on fire for God. It's just getting by. As long as I go to church once a week, I'm good. As long as in a couple hours I carry my Bible around, I'm good. And the rest of the week I can live like a devil. Oh, I can study and open my Bible, you know, and then fall asleep within a matter of five verses. That's a lukewarm church. You do just enough to get by. So you can say, I actually read my Bible today. I actually, prayed today. What are you doing the rest of the week? Let me tell you, our entire week is filled with things of the world. Am I wrong? Our entire week is nothing but how to better ourselves, how to please ourselves. What is it that will make me successful in life? What is it that will progress me? What is it that's going to make me comfortable in life? 99% of our life is all about that. The Bible says, for man shall be lovers of their own selves. That is the catalyst for all those other things listed here. So what's the result of that? You're covetous. You become boasters. I'm good. I am better than you. I'm better than this person so and so. I have this in my life. I'm good. You're boasters. You're proud. You become blasphemers. You're disobedient to parents, and the list go on and on. You know, in verse 6, I want you to take a look at one thing here. For of this sort, verse 6, chapter 3, 2 Timothy, are they which what? Creep into houses. I think the average church today has allowed these things to creep into our churches, into our lives. The average Christian is just allowing all these things to creep into our lives. That it's become a norm. And these things don't bother us anymore. Look at that. Creep into houses. All what? Which ones? The list. We think it's just it's a routine, it's a normal life for us to just seek all these things that make us comfortable and whatever it is that pleases us. There's a warning. Such from such turn away. We're not doing too good in that area. Let me tell you. What is the result of this? Because church, the body of Christ, has let these things creep into their lives. Verse 6, take a look at this. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Diverse lusts, you know what it means? Different. Many various lusts and desires. Again, I'm not talking about the world out there. I know what they do. We understand what they do. And they do what they do because they're unsaved. But we have Christians today that are full of desires. Lustful desires. Why? Because they're allowing all these things to creep into their lives. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, putting themselves before God. What's the result? You end up having all these desires that are lustful. And you can put all kinds of stuff underneath that category. You know, an average Christian, if they leave their phone at home, it would bother them so much they would even turn around, come back because they left their phone. But how many of us would go back, turn around, because we left our Bible at home? That's how you can tell where our pleasure is, right? Where our desire is in the lust of this world. You know, not only that we become so desirous, you know, we desire so many things in life. We become high-minded. Our minds become corrupt. Take a look at this, verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We're constantly just, okay, we read this, we read that. But we don't really understand. We don't come to an understanding. The wisdom of God. We don't get to that point that we actually understand the things of God. Because all kinds of things are bothering us. Just like, you know, remember that parable of the sower? Some seeds fell by the thorny ground, and that seed didn't grow. You know why? Because of the cares of this world starting to choke that seed. That's why that seed never grew. Because of the cares of this world started to choke that seed. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres back in the Old Testament withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Some of you are still denying the truth that, yes, I'm actually not living right before God. And I'm telling you that an average Christian is living for themselves more than they live for God. And some of you are resisting that. Our minds become corrupted. And you know what the result of that is? Verse 9. But they shall proceed no further. They shall proceed no further. There is no growth. There is no progress in their Christian life. I'm not talking about progress in your materialistic world. I'm saying that Christians stop growing in the Lord. Why? Because all these things they've allowed to creep in to their lives. And they started denying it, and they start treating them as if it's just okay. It's the norm. We're modern now. Why can't I have all these pleasures in life? You know, pleasures are not necessarily wrong, but when they take the place of God, then they'll set you back. It'll keep you from growing in the Lord. You ever wonder why you stop growing spiritually? Think about George, why is it that my prayer life is no longer effective? Why is it that, you know, I don't have that joy and, you know, satisfaction when I'm praying and communing with God and when I'm talking to people about the Lord? And I'm trying to serve in the ministry, but I find no joy in that anymore. Because you're doing it not for the Lord. You're doing it for yourself. Because you have things that are choking the Word of God in your life. They shall proceed no further. It'll hinder your spiritual growth. Which one will hinder? Man shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. It's a spiral. So what's the solution? It's not so much the solution, but here's what we ought to do. Rather than those things, take a look at verse 10. I wonder what is a Christian life ought to be then? If not those pleasures and all those things that you mentioned, Brother George. I'll tell you here, verse 10. This is something that we forget. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Is Paul talking. And he's about to tell us what it means to be a Christian. What it means to be the church. Here's what it says. Here's my manner of life. Here's my purpose. Guess what? Faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Let me give you a few pointers here. Instead of all these things, you know what? You put God first. You know, the book in Matthew, the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind and soul. That's the first and great commandment. Put God first. Here's another thing. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. You put God first, and then here's chapter 2, 1 through 5. Philippians. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and then you love others. You put others first. That is the right way. Amen. Put others first. And here's another concept that we forget. Not only that we put God first and we put others first. As Christians, we tend to forget that part of a Christian life is suffering. We say, I don't know, where do you find them? Same book, Philippians chapter 3, in verse 18. Philippians chapter 3, in verse 18. You know what it says here? Verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Enemies of the cross of Christ. Who? Whose end is destruction. Whose God is their belly. And whose glory is in their shame. Who mind earthly things. That's a caution for us Christians that those who mind earthly things and whose God is their belly are enemies of the cross of Christ. First Peter chapter 4. Verse 12. Beloved, thinking that strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. You know what he's saying? Don't think it is strange thing that there's some hardship and trials coming to you. As if those things are not supposed to happen in your lives. Those are part of your lives if you're a Christian. Don't think of them as strange. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are what? Partakers of Christ's sufferings. You know, we live in America. We are so spoiled. You know that? There are so many things that we have in this country that others don't. And that's part of the reason. There's the main reason why American Christians are forgetting what Christian life ought to be. That Christian life, that if you're doing what's right for God, there'll be some hardships. I am not talking about hardships because of your laziness. I'm not talking about hardships because of your wrongdoings. Because there are hardships that come because of laziness and your own wrongdoings. I'm talking about hardships and trials because you're living for God. There's a difference. How many of you have been mocked at work because you're living for Christ? Maybe the reason why you don't get mocked or laughed at work or persecuted at work because they don't know you're Christians. Because you're not living like you should. You're like incognito. A secret agent. People don't know that you're Christians. But if you're living for God like you ought, then fiery trials are expected. It's not only that we are expected to suffer for Christ, we ought to endure hardness. Take a look at this. Verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. You ought to endure. If you're going through some trials, you ought to endure. Stay strong in the Lord. For he has called us to be a good soldier. You know that you're a soldier of the Lord? Bible says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warred entangling himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. You ought to be tough. Tough in what? In fighting other people? That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is you're staying tough despite what you're going through. Despite the hardships and the trials, despite you losing your shirt for standing for Christ, you are staying tough because you're a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't just easily give up. Oh, I'm done. I'm trying to do things for God, Christ, but it's hard, and no one's listening to me, and no one would accept the gospel tracts, and no one. I don't get any praises. You're not doing it for praise anyway, right? You ought to endure. Stay strong. Stay faithful. If you're doing what's right, no matter what the outcome, stay strong. Stay faithful. Ephesians 5, verse 16. Ephesians 5, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Brother George, why are you talking to us about all these things? The last days. Well, it's simple. Ephesians 5, verse 16. The Bible says, we can start with verse 14. Wherefore he saith, and this is talking to Christians. He says, awake thou that sleepest. There are Christians that are asleep. And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Why? Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Amen. Oh yeah, it is true. You know, we have this nut out there that says that the world's going to end in 12 years. But our idea of the end of the world is completely different from what the Bible is saying about the end of the world. You know, for us Christians is this, redeeming the time because the days are evil. There will be a time that you can no longer do what's right for God here on earth. We're living in the last days. Therefore, redeem the time because the days are evil. There will come a day to the end. It's it. There's no more chance, no more opportunity to live for God here on earth. There will be no more opportunity to do right for your neighbor, for each other. Romans 13, verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to what? Awake out of sleep. Awake out of sleep. That's talking to Christians. We have a lot of Christians who are sleeping. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. You know, Brother Roger read about there will be scoffers in the last days. There will be scoffing that. Yeah, you guys keep talking about the Lord coming. Where is he? He's not here. You know what it is? It's scoffing. They're making fun of you guys, Christians. You're always talking about the coming of the Lord. There will be scoffers. But you know what? We're a day closer now than yesterday. Have you thought about that? We're a day closer today than yesterday. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You know what the salvation is? That's more than just talking about the salvation of the soul. Our soul has been saved the moment you trust Christ. You know what it's saying here? Salvation of your body. I'm going to inject a little bit of doctrine here. You know your flesh? Our flesh is still not saved. Whoa, Brother Joe, that's a heresy. What are you talking about? You're not saved? Yes, you're not saved. Your flesh is still not saved. When you trusted Christ, it's just your soul that got saved. Your spirit has been revived, quickened when you got saved. But don't tell me your body is saved. Because if your body is saved, then you will never grow old. You will never feel pain and ache anymore. But you still do. We still do. Why? Because we're not fully saved, our body. But the Bible says here, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The coming of the Lord is getting near and near. And when he comes, he'll change our body into a glorified body. So instead of seeking to please this body, this sinful flesh, which is going to rot anyway, won't you rather please the one who is going to give you a better body? Stop worrying about this flesh. I'm not saying go live a solitary life and just go isolate yourself and don't. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in everything that we do, put God first. And whatever it is we're going through, endure. Because you're doing it for the Lord. I got one last verse for you, I believe. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 2. Not only that, because the days are evil, we ought to redeem the time. We need to wake up if you're sleeping. As Christians, here's what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, if you're not saved today, The things that I talk to you about probably will not mean nothing to you. About pleasing yourselves, being boastful, and all those things. If you are not saved today, don't worry about those things just yet. You know what you need to worry about? The salvation of your soul. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You ought to get saved. Because, like what I said, when that time comes, your chance will be gone. Be no more. It'll be too late. You think it's bad now? Wait. You think it's crazy now? Just wait. It'll be 100 times crazier when the church departs this earth to be with the Lord. And the Lord will just let this world be a chaos under the Antichrist. So you want to wait? Don't be a fool. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. Stand for prayer. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's have our invitation this morning. The message was primarily for Christians. It is for the Christians. You know why we're, or how we know that we're living in the last days? It is not because of the things that we see out there. Because of the things that we see within us. We're living for ourselves. You say, who? Us, Christians. Christians who profess to follow Christ, and we put ourselves first. Oh, you need to repent. We need to repent. Are you boastful? Do you seek pleasure first? Before you seek to please God. If that's you this morning, then you need to repent. How do you spend your time? In your conversation, who do you talk about the most? Is it Christ? Rather talk about sports and news. What do you read the most? Those magazines that make you feel good? Or you open up the book, the Holy Bible, and see what God has to say? Does it bother you more when you leave the Bible? Or does it bother you more when you leave your phone? Because you can't check all your stuff in your phone. That tells you what's important in your life. Lord God, help us. We're in the last days. Not because of the crazy world out there. Because we know it's going to get crazy. Crazier than what it is now. But we're in the last days because an average Christian stopped living for God the way he ought to live for God.